Hello, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Jay Levin here with you. Follow us on Twitter. He is at Bowtie Sports. I am at Callahan on Air, and we welcome you in. This show, we're going to be focusing on the Pacific Division because, Jay, there's an awful lot going on in the Pacific Division. I'd just like to go ahead and kick right off with the Edmonton Oilers because while they're making moves, again, Peter Chiarelli out the door. They're one of those teams that I think most people in hockey are still scratching their heads as to why these guys haven't gotten better over the last, I don't know, is it 5 years now, 8 years? How long has this been going on that everybody's, well, Edmonton's bound to turn the corner. They keep drafting high and they really haven't shown much for it except for one playoff run.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big surprise. They took a slow process to get there, but it looked a couple of years ago like they had finally turned the corner, made the playoffs. They're a real exciting team. They were a couple periods away from making the Western Conference Finals, and it seemed like they were poised to become one of the powerhouses in the Western Conference. In the last couple of seasons, they've regressed, and it's really difficult to kind of pinpoint where exactly the problem lies. For the longest time, it was defense and goaltending, but this year they're getting good enough goaltending to be in the race, especially when you look at some of the teams that are there in the wild card race in the Western Conference. They've got the skill on paper. They're getting the goaltending performances that they should be in a wild card spot at this point. I mean, if not top three in the Pacific Division. So it's really difficult to find out what's missing there, what the missing ingredient is. I feel confident that Coach Hitchcock, I mean, you look at his track record, I feel confident that he'll be able to, to put some pieces in place, but you wonder how much of it is player personnel and how much of it is I'm just making bad decisions on which players to invest in.
As of our taping this on Monday, Edmonton is 3 points out of a wild card, but to get there, also in front of them, they have to leapfrog St. Louis, Arizona, Anaheim, and Vancouver, and that's just to get to Colorado in that last wild card spot. So the points, I think, are a little misleading here for the Oilers. I think the change with Chiarelli was long overdue. And, it's interesting. I was just kind of looking organizationally at the Oilers. It is the old Oilers. And a name that keeps popping up for me is Craig McTavish. And McTavish has been around this team for a while, didn't have a lot of successes in management, and now he's VP. And, I'm starting to look at the Oilers and see the names. And even Wayne Gretzky's still involved. His brother Keith is the AGM there. Kevin Lowe is a VP. I almost, and I know this is blasphemous to Oilers fans, but I feel like they almost need to clean out the whole closet and get rid of the old boy network, because to me, that seems to be quite a bit of what's holding them back.
Well, something's not working there, clearly. And, Craig McTavish had some success there as a coach. He took him to a cup finals as a coach. But, since he's moved into more of an executive role, the performance on ice kind of speaks for itself. I know a lot of, talking to a lot of people who, who cover the Pacific Division, talking to a lot of people who travel out there, that they said that Chiarelli really, was missing out on a lot of items. And there are a number of people in higher-ranking media positions who seem to think that the change from Chiarelli will help, but I'm with you. I wonder how much McTavish, how much his fingerprints are all over this, and if maybe that's a move that perhaps needs to be made.
Well, and again, the Oilers, points-wise, not a long way away, but personnel-wise, I just feel like there's, and again, even you mentioned Hitchcock coming in, completely different style of coach, but a guy who has been known for when he does come in, is able to wring what's left out of the towel and really push his teams over the line. I mean, if even he's not a guy who can get some results in Edmonton, don't you, I mean, at what point do you start looking at a culture change with the Oilers? I don't know, Jay. I'm so surprised, and I think a lot of people are who are observers who would think Edmonton would have found a way to get better by now. And as we mentioned, and you mentioned, I mean, you know, sporadically, they'll make a cup final appearance or they'll be close. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, they were very close to getting to the cup final, but it just seems like it's, you know, they catch fire at the right time, but it's not consistent.
Well, I will say, I don't think they're that far away. I mean, when you look at the basics, they've got two superstar forwards and they're getting good enough goaltending. So they've got some real key ingredients. If, you know, if they decide to sell and get rid of a couple of their tougher contracts, move some of those off the books, maybe get a couple of young assets back, make a couple decent enough moves this off season in, you know, maybe not high end shopping, but pick up some solid culture type players, some locker room type players, some guys who could fill very specific roles for them. You know, it's really not out of, you know, it wouldn't be out of left field to see them make a decent run next year, because they do have a lot of those underlying pieces in place. You know, I do think that a couple tweaks could just snap everything into place.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the rest of the Pacific Division here. Right now, in the playoffs, you got Calgary, San Jose, Vegas, 1-2-3. For me, I don't think there's a bigger surprise in the NHL this year than the Calgary Flames, the way they've played and that they've been able to sustain it for as long as they have. They are a very good hockey team. And then on the outside looking in, not in the wild card, but right on the doorstep is Vancouver, Anaheim, and surprise of all surprises, the Arizona Coyotes. Now, the Kings, I think we can say the Kings are out of it. I think we can call it for the – although I guess you never know if they catch fire and things go the right way. I mean, they are technically only 8 points out of a wild card, but I think that's an awful long way to go to have to leapfrog everyone just to get there.
The Kings need to pass a ton of teams, and they need to play a lot more consistent than they've shown they're able to for the last season and a half. So I think your assessment there is, you know, is pretty accurate. Arizona, Vancouver, I know where they are, where the points say they are. I have a tough time seeing them being able to make up the stagger. Vancouver especially got off to that hot start, and they've slowly kind of regressed back towards the mean. Arizona, you know, give them credit for playing hard, competing. I just don't see where the talent is there for them to be able to take the next step, and this season for them to be able to take that next step and be able to play even better than they have for the closing 30 games or so of the season. So I think when you're looking at the playoffs, Anaheim is a team that you really have to look at, and they're a team that's been in a playoff position for most of the year, but man, they've hit about as cold a streak as I've seen for a good team in a while.
What's going on in Anaheim?
You can point to Corey Perry being out, but they still have enough talent beyond that. They're getting, I mean, John Gibson, if the season ended today, I mean, Gibson may be your Vezina winner. I mean, he's been that good in net, and they're still outside of the playoffs with a team that on paper seems to have enough talent to be a playoff team. So that's a difficult one to figure out. I know organizationally they've been patient. They've made a couple, you know, minor moves around the edges. Randy Carlyle's a good coach. I'm not going to try and trash Randy Carlyle, but it might be one of those things where they just need a different voice in the locker room just to try something different. If for no other reason, not, you know, I don't know that Carlisle's the problem there, but they might just need try anything. Like, you can't trade all the players, so give it a try with a different coach behind the bench.
Well, and some of the comments that came out of the room, Jay, for me were a little concerning in the last, well, I guess it's a little more, maybe it's more than a week or so now, but guys I don't think it was so thinly veiled that they were really saying, hey, something needs to change here, and kind of nodding in the direction of maybe it is time for a change with Carlisle. Yeah, that's the old adage. You can't fire the players, so you fire the coach. You know, are we at that point with Carlisle? Is he at that point where that's really what the option is? And for Anaheim to move forward, they can rearrange chairs all they want. And I think that's what they've done with a lot of these perimeter moves. But you could trade half the roster, which it kind of feels like they've done. But it's not going to change your core. It's not going to change the culture. It's not going to change the attitude of the team. That comes from the coach and from the leadership. And so something there, I think, needs to change if Anaheim's going to move forward again.
I mean, they will get a little bit of a leadership bump when Corey Perry comes back, right? You know, I mean, that's a big piece, not just on-ice performance, but locker room leadership, setting the tone for who they are as a team. So getting him back will be a very big piece, but you know, they just lost Kasha. I mean, Kasha was a top six forward who was producing for them, especially the first quarter of the season. I mean, he was tremendous for them. He's cooled off a little bit since, but Kasha's a loss for them. But I do think that getting Perry back answers some of those questions. The issue is, can they afford to wait that long and put all their eggs in the Corey Perry is going to fix everything kind of basket?
And I feel like for the rest of the Pacific, it's a 10-point gap from Vancouver and Anaheim at this point up to where Vegas is sitting in third. San Jose is finally putting it together. As I said, they eventually would, but boy, it took longer than even I thought. But, you know, the Carlson Burns dynamic, and I still think they're ironing that out and really figuring out how that works. But the Sharks overall have gotten better. And again, my surprise team of the year right now, just if I were to call it, it's got to be Calgary. I thought Calgary would be a team scrapping for that final wild card spot. Here they are, though, 71 points, a plus 45 goal differential, which is kind of mind-blowing to me. I mean, they are playing some incredible hockey. Only Tampa Bay has got a better goal diff. I mean, so that tells me, you know, you look at Calgary, they're getting it done at home. They've only lost four times in regulation at home. They're a very good road team. They seem to have it all together right now.
They're playing well. I keep kind of waiting for them to kind of come back down to earth, but they keep just chugging along. I tend to agree with you. Those top three teams in the Pacific seem fairly well entrenched. I mean, I still think San Jose has another gear, maybe another gear and a half. So I probably would still put them as the favorite to win the division. But, yeah, I mean, Calgary's been very impressive. Vegas, I mean, being able to avoid a sophomore slump after the type of year they had, I mean, it would have been very easy for a lot of those players who played with a chip on their shoulder last year to read some of the press clippings on how good they were last year and maybe kind of relax. But they've picked up where they left off last year and continued, you know, pedal to the metal, and it's impressive. I give Gerard Gallant a ton of credit. I think he's establishing himself now as one of the elite coaches in the league. Up there with the list of the top 3, 4, 5 coaches that you seem to hear mentioned time and time again. I mean, I think he's right up there with a Barry Trotz and that sort of group. Even though I know he doesn't have the cup, but I mean, what he's been able to do in Vegas, what he did before that in Florida, and you look at what the Panthers have been since they let him go. I mean, man, Gerard Gallant might be the single most important move that the Vegas Knights made as they started that franchise.
Well, Vegas, too, overcoming a slow start, just like San Jose has overcome a slow start. And as you mentioned, Vancouver got off to a hot start, kind of fall back to the pack. But, I mean, Bill Peters in Calgary, and you mentioned Barry Trotz and with the Islanders, those two guys, coach of the year, I think I'm going to have to split hairs if they continue on their current paths and they both finish with first place or comparable records. But you're right. Don't overlook what Gerard Gallant's doing for that Golden Knights team, because he found a way to get them back together. And a lot of people thought, oh, it was a fluke. Oh, they weren't that good. Oh, there's some pieces missing again this year. They're just not going to be able to pull it off. So tip of the cap to them. But Jay, I mean, as far as the Pacific and coming up on the trade deadline here, just who do you think need to be the movers and shakers?
You know, it's a tough division to kind of figure out, because LA would seem to be a reasonable seller, but you kind of look through their roster, they don't have a ton of easily movable pieces. So I don't know how much they can get for some of their players. So they may wind up kind of being on the sidelines. If I'm looking at Vancouver, Arizona, if I'm one of those teams still in that same sort of position, I don't know that I sell, because, you know, you're close enough to potentially go on a hot streak and get in, but I wouldn't have enough confidence to go and mortgage future pieces to try to get in this year. You look Edmonton, I think their best course of action would be to try to move a couple of those tougher contracts, try to see if they can leverage the lack of sellers to get out from under a couple less than desirable contracts, give them some flexibility during the summer. And then you look at the top, I mean, San Jose, you know, you probably do try and pick up a solid role player, maybe a little bit of size, a little bit of toughness. If you look at San Jose, in order to get through to the Pacific, through to the Stanley Cup Finals, I mean, you're looking at a potential of Nashville or Winnipeg as a legitimate Western Conference championship opponent. Maybe try and pick up a little bit of toughness to match up or to knock one of those teams around a little bit. Vegas is, you know, still young, has a lot of pieces, a lot of the same pieces that got there last year. So if you can make a nice underrated move, I can see them doing that. Calgary, I kind of like the way they're rolling. It's tough if you're Calgary and you're kind of getting through with what you've done. It's kind of tough to bring in too many pieces, because you might jostle the chemistry there in the wrong way. So I guess I see San Jose, Vegas as being role player type buyers. I see LA and Edmonton trying to sell some rough contracts, but I don't know how much success they'll be able to have. And everyone else is probably standing pat around the deadline.
Well, that is Jay Levin. I'm Tom Callahan, and we appreciate you joining us for the Talking Puck podcast. He is at Bowtie Sports on Twitter. I am at Callahan on air. And, of course, you can check us out online at talkingpuck.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon.